Goody. You have cruel intentions? Did you wear that shirt last week?
I wore it like 2-3 weeks ago.
Okay. Welcome, everyone, to the Completely Unnecessary Podcast for Dogecoin Day 420, 2021.
Hello.
That's Ian Ferguson. He's heavily invested in the doggy stuff. I'm Pat Contry.
Heavily invested.
Except for our information is for entertainment purposes only.
That's right.
Just like this podcast. On the show today, we'll be talking about the Pie Packer Kickstarter. Yes, it's baking technology. Come to you. I know it's not what it is. We'll also be talking about PS and Vita store might be staying online again. Nintendo is suing Bowser. Wow.
Whoa.
That's cool. We'll also be talking about a Patreon poll topic, maybe an old school Q&A and listener voice messages. Ian, how was your weekend, buddy?
My weekend was great. It's fantastic. Yeah, work went well. Played D&D. Ate a really good Cajun pasta.
Cajun pasta, huh?
Yeah.
Some spices in there?
Some spices. There was peppers and onions and chicken and shrimp and sausage, and it was real good.
My one cousin used to always go out to, like, I forgot what restaurant it was. He would always order something like that, like some sort of Cajun pasta. I never like ordering pasta at a restaurant that is not an Italian restaurant, but my one cousin would always do that. He always got some pasta with like Cajun shrimp in there. Well, I just got like a fucking burger, you know.
When we do D&D, we rotate who's responsible for the food. Some weeks it's Vani and I. Some weeks it's our friends. Some weeks it's our friends' kids. So.
What do they make, like grilled cheese sandwiches? The kids? What do you mean?
They're like 25-year-old kids.
Yeah. You make it sound like they're kids. Like,
they're technically kids. So they're kids of our friends.
So you're playing with boomers. Okay.
Yes,
okay.
We're playing with boomers and young people. We're in the middle. There's 20 somethings. There's like 40 somethings, and then there's like
you can see the difference.
55, 60 somethings.
You can see from where the people, the generation, not them in particular, but the generation that's destroyed everything. Us trying to deal with it, and the future that we'll be left with nothing.
Yes.
You get all three generations.
Yeah.
All playing with ogres and dragons and funness.
Yeah, we killed some zombie ogres.
They're really zombie ogres?
Yeah, they're zombie ogres. Yeah, they came charging out of a cave at us.
Did you survive, Ian?
We survived.
With your, what do you got? You got a ranger? Who do you use?
I'm a gnome.
You're a gnome?
Yeah.
That's so funny. You know what? Fuck, I forgot to put it down. You know why that's funny?
Why? I'm a gnome rogue.
Because...
I'm sneaky.
We haven't talked about our... What's our favorite allegedly money laundering or probably legit game developer company? Playdate.
Oh, Playdate.
Yeah, someone sent me...
not Playdate.
Yes.
Playdate is the... Playdate's also the handheld.
Yes. Yes, they are. But
they're different.
Yes, I forgot about that. But I believe... It's Playdate, isn't it? Playdate?
I don't know. With the president simulator or whatever the hell it was.
Yes, with bum simulator and the car mechanic game does well on Steam. So they have a game. Is it Playdate? Now I'm fucked up. Is it? What's the game? Because they sent me code. There was
the Bee Jesus.
Yes, there's a Jesus simulator. They are the kings of the simulator, Ian. And they sent me codes for almost every game. They must have heard us talk about the podcast. It's like, you know what, Pat? We're going to send you codes. Thing, but so they have a new game out where it's not Playdate now.
Playway
has a game they literally just announced yesterday. That's you take care of gnomes in the forest.
Ah, okay.
And you you gather stuff and you build up towns and you fight other gnome gangs, and there's like a gangster gnome gang with machine guns. And Playway has a knack for making these games that look like they're fun but insane at the same time. But they pump out these. They pump out like 12 of these a year. It's called Gnome Punk. Instead of Steampunk, I guess. It's called Gnome Punk. They just announced it.
All right. It's Playway. Yeah. I'm looking at their website right now. They have their own website where they just have all these games: House Flipper and Mr. Prepper and Car Mechanic Simulator 2018.
The very first shot of this trailer is a human head beat up. It's a guy buried in like the dirt, and there's gnomes surrounding with crossbows guarding him.
All right.
And then it just devolves from there. But it looks like it's, you can actually like make your own spells, and you have to build forts up. And I don't know, again, how they come up with these games. Build your economy. So it's a gnome game, Ian. This could be up your alley. I'll give you the code if I get it for this.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if you get the code, just let me know. I'll give it a shot, I suppose.
I mean, you have to at this point. We have to show love to Playway. Not Playdate. But a Playdate port of that would be amazing with the crank on there.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be great. Yesterday was fantastic, though.
What did you do yesterday?
I got high. I put on some gentle music and learned how to crochet.
Wow.
Yeah. It was great.
All right, just like an old woman. You got the two big needles together?
Crochet is one hook.
It's one hook.
Crochet is a hook. Knitting is two needles.
But, okay, can you accomplish the same things or no?
You can accomplish very similar things, yes. It's just a different way of going about it.
I watched a poker, it must have been from last 2 years ago. It was like one of the largest poker buy-in tournaments. And she was a woman that won one of these online things to get a free ticket that was like in Bermuda or something.
Mm-hmm.
And she did, I think, knitting. I think it was two. She'd be knitting while she played. It was amazing. She'd be knitting and put it down and play her cards.
Oh.
And she crocheted or knitted a cute little plush heart that made it all the way to the end where the person that beat her, She took my heart. She gave the little knit heart to that person.
Oh, that's cute.
And then when that person lost, it went to... But they kept up the whole tournament. So it transferred, like, whatever, nine times.
Oh, really?
Eight, 10 times to the winner.
That's kind of cool, actually.
It's kind of a cool thing.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway. I like that.
So what did I do, Ian?
Yeah,
what did
you do?
I got the COVID jab number one on Friday.
Nice.
Let me just tell you, my heart was warm, speaking of knit hearts, by how well everyone's coming together and volunteering to do this. How efficient it was, how professional it was.
Extremely political act.
Yeah, it's an extremely political act of
getting a fucking vaccine.
Making sure people aren't going to get super sick or die. But no, seriously, by the time it was one of these stations. I signed up through the California website, and by the time I parked, within 20 minutes, I had the shot in my arm from parking to shot.
Nice.
It was amazing. It was like Comic-Con where you like showed your ID to someone, you're online, and then thanks, Ian, that was bothering me, apparently. It was like 40 to 45 stations. I don't know where you got yours, but it was 40 to 45
Vons.
Stations.
You just walk into Vons.
So it was like one person there,
yeah,
basically. Okay.
Jab, yeah.
This was a massive thing. It was like 40 to 45 stations where you had one person with their iPad to register you, make sure, and then the one person, the nurse, gave you the shot. And like I said, like it was almost like Comic-Con. It was like people holding up their sign. You know, you're good at Comic-Con, yeah. Register. It was like that.
Yeah.
So it was constantly.
That's how I expected. I expected it to look like the inside of Comic-Con registration, voting,
yes,
at a mass voting site. It's basically the same thing.
So the line looks long, but it moves so quickly. I was in line for like only 5-10 minutes. Front of the line, hand up. Hey, here's the ID. They ask you the questions. You know, you have the symptoms. Have you felt sick? Have you gotten a previous vaccination? No, 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 no. Okay, jab in your arm. Go wait 15 minutes. Make sure you don't die. That's basically what happens. You sit down for 15 minutes. Make sure that you're okay. If you have problems, you tell the nurse and you're gone. I did not expect it to be that smooth. This isn't like propaganda, but I honestly did not expect it to be that smooth to get through that. So
it's wonderful.
So that means, yes, me and Ian are both like 60% protected, about.
We're on our way there.
So I think it's like 50-60% with one shot. So like we're on our way.
I think actually with Pfizer, if you get to like, I think it's like, well, whatever. We'll just say 60 because it's lower. I think it's
lower than Moderna.
I think it's higher than that.
Oh, I got the better than Moderna one. Is that?
I think after your first shot, once you get like 3 weeks deep, you're pretty well.
But you want that second. You want that second one.
Yeah.
You know, make sure you sync it up.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so yeah, so I'll get the second shot right before my birthday. I just hope I don't get hit with that. It seems like it's totally random. Some people get hit with flu-like symptoms after a second shot for Moderna or Pfizer. Sounds like I heard that Pfizer is not as much, but it sounds like it's totally random. You either get it or you don't.
Yeah, I know. Right? I know so, people who have and people who haven't.
Well, you'll be fine after that. Other than that, what did I do? I ordered Mexican food. That's all. I want to say this real quick. We got people that came after us, and actually did videos. I won't bore Ian with it. He ignores that. I think you interacted with one individual in the comments because they didn't like our commentary on Pac-Man 99 because I guess we weren't good enough for the game. So, holy shit, you are a fucking loser. I'll just say that. Holy shit.
It's special. I don't really have anything else to say about it.
The priorities in your life.
People,
my God.
People who whose entire self-image is built up by being good at video games.
But it sounds like it's more the arcade people. We go back to that. Where the arcade people seem to be bigger douchebags than normal on average. We've had experiences a few times in the podcast.
I don't know. Is
that thing something to do with it?
You're always going to find people who are jerks. Yeah. I don't know. Okay.
I just thought that was funny. It's like Pac-Man 99. Like, this is an innocent, cute game. We don't like it. We just don't like it. We're not great at it, but we just don't like it. Oh, fuck you guys.
I just didn't care.
Why are people listening to these people? Because we're cute and more handsome. That's why. Anyway, F-Zero has been in the news. After we talked about it, we conjured up this. We talked about F-Zero not having a sequel for like 2 weeks in a row. We conjured this to happen. Where Nintendo talked about potentially bringing an ex-designer.
Nintendo didn't talk about it. An ex-designer, Takaya Imamura, said that F-Zero isn't dead, but it's a series that's hard to bring back without a grand idea. To which I say horseshit. Absolute 100% horseshit. What grand new idea has Mario Kart brought to the table for the past 8 games? Not a whole lot.
Well, you got the partner riding him back for a game, and they got rid of that.
You don't need a grand new idea to bring back a fucking racing game.
And plus, it's been 20 years.
I mean, let's not pretend that it's more than it is. It's a space racing game with goofy characters. You don't need a grand idea. You just need to make more of what people really liked on the GameCube.
Yeah, update it. Just do an update, Ian. Okay, I didn't hit it in time.
That's good. But yeah, I'm very happy you didn't hit it in time.
I love to hear what the ideas were for the grand idea. Like, what would you need? Like, an open world F-Zero? Like, what would you need besides give us like 3 or 4 circuits, give us great multiplayer, give us whatever, 16 different cars or hovercraft, give us customization, right? Different colors, maybe upgrade your own vehicle, something fresh and nice. That's what you need to do in F-Zero. It's a new generation.
Yeah, I really don't
see the Zoomers have not played this game before. They you can market a version to them.
Honestly, I think with F-Zero, it's what I think we kind of touched on and other people have said. I just don't think Nintendo wants to do 2 racing games. I feel like they think they would be competing with themselves.
That's ridiculous,
it
though.
It is, because they're entirely different. F-Zero doesn't have rubber band AI. You make F-Zero
It doesn't have all the weapons and stuff.
Right, it doesn't have all the weapons, the wackiness, it doesn't stack the deck for the person in last place.
It's grounded, pardon the pun, because it's not on the ground, but you know, like, it's a closer...
There is an attack, especially in F-Zero GX, but it's essentially like a melee attack. You can crash your car into him in a special way to knock him off. But yeah,
that's not like you're throwing shit or firing missiles.
No, you can make a rate. You can have F-Zero be your racing game, your hardcore racing game, and Mario Kart be your party.
It's so funny how you call it hardcore, though, but to me, it's not even hardcore. It's easy to get in and learn how to play, you know, an F-Zero game. Why are you looking at that?
F-Zero GX is not.
It's
easy.
Not simple. You can't take what 5 minutes.
That game. I mean, you can, but that game gets real difficult, real fucking quick.
Okay, you're not playing Gran Turismo though. You don't need to learn how to fucking
right because drive. It's not an actual car. It can still be technical and hardcore in a different way.
Okay, I don't like this hardcore thing.
I'm just saying it's a very, very.
You don't have to study to play this game. That's what I mean. Gran Turismo, you got to tinker with your car, and it's like you're on the road.
No, you don't have to. Yeah, you're not spending any time in a garage.
Like. Playway's Car Mechanic Simulator.
Jesus
Check
Christ.
It out on Steam. Why, how come they're not sponsoring us? We plug them all the time. And on that note, Nintendo, it's funny. Nintendo is suing Bowser.
Yes, Gary Bowser, the hacker of Hacking Group Team Executor, they were the ones that were selling, they were actually monetizing basically their hacks, so Nintendo is suing them. The lawsuit refers to Bowser's operation as an international pirate ring that sells Switch hacking devices designed to circumvent security measures. These devices allow users to run pirated games. I can't remember exactly which device it is, but I know we've talked about Team Executor in the past.
We brought it up when they got arrested or something happened.
I can't remember if they were the ones who sold like the weird plastic device that shorted 2 pins or whatever the fuck it did that allowed you to run custom firmware on there or what it was, but we have mentioned them in the past.
For some reason, the one genre of topic discussion that never sticks in my mind is the piracy stuff. I never can keep them all straight in my head.
Because there's a lot of it. We cover a lot of it, and there's a lot of ins and outs.
A lot of ins and outs. So they, yeah, okay, file laws against Gary Bowser, apparent leader of Hacking Group, team executor, like you said. Claims that Bowser infringed on the company's copyright in creating and selling hacks. Nintendo is seeking $2,500 for each traffic device. So that means each one that got into the consumer's hand. In addition to $150,000 for each copyright violation. So that'd probably be the overall violation, but that's going to stack up to be a lot of money. It is looking to put a stop to Bowser's actions as well. So usually Nintendo gives you a chance when it comes to stuff. I know what happened here. I feel like Nintendo probably said, you know, fucking stop it. And this guy probably didn't knock it off or didn't realize that this was coming down the pike. But Nintendo does not stand for this sort of childish behavior.
No.
They do not.
No.
They might, you know, just shut down your fan game. They're not going to sue you for money. But this is like, okay, now the gloves are off.
Yeah, it's a little different.
It's a little different. All right, so Bowser's probably going down here. Down, down, down.
Down, down, baby, I'm street in a Range Rover.
Wow. I haven't heard that song when it came out, 23 years, whenever that was? That was definitely a college song.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it is.
Woo! Okay, speaking of old school, Ralph Baer, the beloved father of video games, who doesn't get nearly enough credit for creating the Brown Box, which became the Mana Box Odyssey, which is going to hit its 50th anniversary next year. We'll hit the 50th anniversary for commercial video games next year. It's kind of amazing.
Wow.
When you think about that.
Yeah.
He's got a coin. U.S. Mint announced a coin as part of its 2021 American Innovation line. Dollar coin designs. They're doing four. So basically, I didn't realize that this was a line.
New Hampshire, Virginia, New York, and North Carolina are getting it this year. It seems to be like how they did the state quarters, where every state got a quarter that had something fancy
and
special.
But then they got past that, because that was already 20 years ago or more. Then they went to it was like designations or monuments from each state. You know what I mean? Like weird stuff from each state. They like switched it up. So they kept doing the quarters changes even today. So this is interesting because I didn't know they were doing this for dollars.
So yeah, America is funny. We've constantly
we're a funny nation.
Funny, strange, not funny.
Funny how? Am I amusing? Huh?
Yeah, funny, strange. So we've tried to really make the dollar coin thing stick, and it never ever sticks.
The last time we tried was Sacagawea, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah,
Sacagawea. That little, we don't like
that. My shitty asshole grandfather loved the Sacagawea coins. Fucking carried a little pouch of them around everywhere.
Because
he thought he was eccentric as shit. So he tipped and paid for stuff with the dollar coins. He'd pull out his little fucking satchel of dollar fucking gold coins. Here you go, Missy. I'm going to tip you your four fucking coins. I'm going to give you a shitty tip, and then I'm going to give it to you in a way that I think is cool, even though it's not. It's an awful way to tip someone.
You can't tip an exotic dancer with coins. You know, you can't be jingling all around.
Hate the Scorpion. He was a piece of shit.
Scorpion?
That's what I called him.
Your grandpa was named the Scorpion?
That's what I named him. He was really big into his fucking... What's the fucking... The sign, his star shit.
So he was a Scorpio.
He was a Scorpio.
So he was very passionate.
He was a piece of shit, was what he was. Anyways, so...
Woo! Okay. Any first time this came out, okay.
Anyways.
That aside, Ian, I was not going to be so bearish on the dollars because they got kind of big because that's how you would get change in the subway systems, usually in New York.
Yes.
That's how I knew them from, late 90s, subway systems. Maybe go visit a girl or something, and you want to drive in New York City, whatever.
Hell, I remember getting a Susan B. out of the subway system machine.
Yeah, so Susan B.'s were traditionally, it's the coin podcast. Now, it was the Susan B.'s forever. Susan B. Anthony. And then it went to Sacagawea, and now there's been other ones I'm not aware of, because who the fuck uses even cash in the subway system anymore? Use a credit card, get your ticket.
So it's country's coin corner.
Wow, he needed his first jingle. So anyway, so you got these coming out, and Ralph Baer is getting honored with one. So on the one side, it says it says Ralph Baer on the bottom. No picture of Ralph Baer. No distinguished profile. I wish I got a distinguished profile. But you see, remember, he didn't do Pong. That might have been ripped off from Nolan Bushnell, allegedly. It did what's called handball, which is basically kind of the same concept. You know, you hit a ball back and forth into a goal.
Yeah.
Across the screen. because the Man of Vox Odyssey had like, I don't know, 75 different versions of what became Pong later. So that's the thing, like Pong became
hockey,
Pong,
squash.
Pong became the Kleenex for what which was like which was basically used to be like video tennis. That was like the generic. Then it became Pong. Pong took over. The same way Arkanoid became the type for like a ball breaking game like that. So it's cool to see this honored for New Hampshire. Otherwise, I don't know, New Hampshire, they must have been scratching their heads. What the hell do we do for New Hampshire? No offense to the New Hampshireers out there, but you're a very small state, and we don't know what goes on in New Hampshire. We forget New Hampshire's a state until the election comes every 4 years.
New Hampshire sounds better if you pronounce it New Hampshire.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to go to New Hampshire.
New Hampshire?
New Hampshire. That's all you have to say about the coins.
You're happy for Ralph, though?
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy for him. It's good.
You can spend your Ralph Beer coins at ultimatenintendo.com, where you can get books, RBI baseball stickers. We have now a strategy tips and guides to Pac-Man 99, if you want to check that out. We have a lot of good stuff. How dare these guys not know how to play Pac-Man 99 correctly? Yeah, go to ultimatenintendo.com. We also have the not-for-resale Blu-rays behind me and other fun wares you can get. And, of course, the enamel pins right there.
I'm busy playing Monster Hunter. I don't have time to get good at
it. I gave Pac-Man 99 like an hour of my time. That seemed like it was enough.
Might go back to it. But I'm slaying monsters right now.
I think it's just...
Hunting dragons.
You know what it is about Pac-Man 99?
Making armor.
It's the same shit over and over again. Either you're good at it or bad at it, it's the same stage.
That's fine.
I don't like that. I want some variety.
I mean, that variety would be great, too.
Thanks, Ian.
I could take either.
Okay, was this fence sitter Ian on the CU podcast?
I can go either way.
I'm also on Wednesday night. Tomorrow is the 1 year anniversary of me doing 80s Twitch streams, 80s commercial Twitch streams. Twitch.tv/ContraCode. Ian has told me he will show up and say hi for the 1 year anniversary. He has told me that. He promises to all of you.
I haven't said that.
No, he hasn't.
I haven't said trying
to shame him into people saying, "Where's Ian? We love Ian. Have him say hi." Ian's too good for the hangout.
I'm at work.
You can say hi. Put it on your phone.
I could.
You could. Is the NFT bubble bursting? Hopefully it is.
Probably.
There's been a few articles coming out that it looks at somehow they track, I guess, the average sold price of NFTs. And this is from a few days ago. NFT prices are plummeting. What could this mean for the art world? From CNN Style. Scam, pyramid scheme, and tech speculation bubble. Such have been the more cynical responses to the meteoric rise of the NFT, non-fungible token market. So has the boom gone bust already. So it peaked at around $4,000. The average price of an NFT, and there's tons of NFTs. The average price was $4,000 in mid-February, and it was only $1,400 last week. So they're looking at the market in general, what's been going on. So I will not be shocked that this peters out before the end of the year. I thought this would last well into next year, but the adoption, how quickly this has been adopted by everyone. Topps already has theirs. We talked about they're going to do their own baseball card pack styles.
Yeah.
That you can only keep spending so much money on this stuff before you realize there's not a lot of buyers for this after the initial spend comes. That's how way I look at it.
Well, no, that's what I said last week when we talked about it is, you know, people are getting all hyped up and they're running out to buy this stuff and be part of it. But
it's FOMO.
No one's thinking beyond the fact that, oh, I just purchased this string of data that says I own something for $4,000. Yeah. I'm totally going to be able to flip that for more. Because I don't see a lot of people buying these because they actually want to have them. I still don't understand how you collect them.
Because again, you could get the image or whatever video in another way. When you go to buy these, it shows you what you're buying. So I can just go to the website or I guess download the video or the picture. I'm like, oh, I have that. I don't own it in terms of like legally, but I have that representation. So that's where I said like this to me was always that bridge too far. Where it's like I even understand the concept of crypto more than this, where this is just like they're now even doing digital real estate for like VR, where you're like buying property. I guess we have way too much money to spend shit on that isn't real. That's one thing I can think of, like virtual real estate. I want you to wrap your head around that. You're envisioning there being people wanting to buy a virtual spot somewhere and hang out. So it's going to be a virtual. oh, you know, I'm going to buy the condo on Miami Beach. But virtually, I'll do that and spend actual money to do that. I think we're lost at that point. We're fucking lost.
Yeah. I don't have much more to say about it than what I did last week or 2 weeks ago, and that it's just everything, the cycle for everything is hyper-accelerated right now. Due to COVID and the pandemic, people sitting inside, not having anything to do. And
stimmy money that maybe helps? I don't know.
Something that could have maybe petered out in 2 years is, I mean, the overexposure and burnout from this, I think, is going to crash it by the end of the year.
Speaking of that, this is a fun thing. It's been taken off of eBay, but 14 people sent it to me. There was a sealed Super Mario Brothers graded VHS cassette of the movie, not game, that went on eBay, and it was going for tons of money. I think it hit like 15, 20 grand before it was taken down. And obviously, I think at that point it was a troll. But I would not be shocked if there even became a market for some of this stuff. For, oh, this is the first version of Star Wars on VHS sealed, and it's going to go for a ton of money, even though they made a billion of them, and there's probably still sealed ones laying around that they never were able to sell from fucking Columbia House days, you know what I mean? So, I will not be shocked that this tries to take off, but it's so weird when I see when you get to like now, because there are DVD collectors, right? But
there's a collector for everything.
But now you're getting to like different types of media where there's no like first appearance anymore. It's just, well, I guess we can't own the film reels that they put in movie theaters, the prints themselves, so we'll get the mass-produced VHS copy. Like, you got to wrap your mind around this stuff at some point and like buy into it. But I just saw this. I thought it was funny. That's all.
Yeah,
I thought it was funny.
That's weird.
I thought for a second, oh, this is going to be a thing now, huh? People are going to go after, I guess, the few video game movies that they made in like the 80s and 90s. But I don't know.
Can't wait to see what a sealed copy of Double Dragon the movie.
I was going
to
bring that up. Yeah. I was going to go, oh, it's video games. Technically, War Games. This is a classic to me. I love War Games.
We watched it. It felt like recently, but there's that whole year that doesn't exist behind us. We watched that probably about 2 years ago with our friend
on Netflix, probably.
When it was on Netflix with our friend Lincoln, and I was like, "Damn, this is actually a really good movie."
Yeah.
Darker than I remembered too. I mean,
a nuclear holocaust. That's pretty dark.
Yeah,
it's hard to Disney-fy that, isn't it? That's a great movie. My father rented it when we were like five, and I sort of understood it even at five. I was like, "Oh, okay."
So,
want to play a game of chess? Spoilers. Spoilers, the world doesn't end.
No, it sure doesn't.
I don't want to piss off someone with spoilers.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
News. Big, big news coming out.
I don't have a news button.
It's
also an update, though, Ian.
It is. Update. It is an update. PlayStation Store update. Players will be able to continue to purchase games on PlayStation 3 and the old PlayStation Vita.
Vita Snitchel?
The Vita. The Vita Snitchel. So I can read this whole thing in full. Recently, this is the front from the PlayStation blog. Jim Ryan, president and CEO, Sony Interactive.
Oh, the guy that hates preservation.
The shit heel.
Who wants to play Gran Turismo, a classic game?
The shit heel. Recently, we notified players that PlayStation Store for PS3 and PS Vita devices was planned to end this summer. Upon further reflection, however, it's clear that we made the wrong decision here. So today, I'm happy to say that we will be keeping the PlayStation Store operational for PS3 and PS Vita devices. PSP commerce functionality will retire on July 2nd, 2021 as planned. When we initially came to the decision to end purchasing support for PS3 and PS Vita, it was born of a number of factors, mainly just not being able to read the room, you fucking idiots, including comments.
Is that a quote? No. Okay, so make sure.
Including commerce support challenges for older devices and the ability for us to focus more of our resources on newer devices.
Ding, ding, ding. That's really it. The other thing's horseshit.
Yeah.
Keeping the servers up is not going to cost you a ton of money or upkeep at this point.
No, it's the fact that they thought that the way to keep their customers or excite their customers was to throw everything from the past in the trash and focus on the shiny and new. And I think that this is the wrong time to have that sort of headspace for video games. As we've talked about on the podcast numerous times, we are kind of right now in a golden age of video game preservation.
We coined that, by the way, the golden age of video game preservation.
With new things being discovered and preserved every day.
Yeah, it's true.
So
I was very dramatic reading.
Yeah. So this is not the message that you want to come with. It's outdated, and that might have worked in the 90s when we were shitting all over 2D games and trying to make everything 3D, but it's not going to work now. People actually want to be able to go back to the past. I'm talking about like old magazines that would look at like Castlevania 64 and Symphony of the Night and be like, Symphony of the Night is for children because it's 2D.
It didn't age well by then. Is that what you're saying?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
Okay, so I make sure.
No, that's not at all what I'm saying.
That's what they were saying in 97.
It's not what I'm saying.
So there's some quotes from this Yahoo Entertainment article, trying to keep that Yahoo stock price up. I do not have any Yahoo stock, by the way. Oh my God, I'm so happy, one user wrote. This had been actually making me really sad. I'm so grateful. Now if they only put some of these games on sale. That's actually pretty funny. I don't know what they're charging on these 15-year-old games, but you think at this point some would be cheaper. Hopefully they are. Wow, the countless articles and outrage really made Sony change course on this. They actually listened. Did they listen, though? Did they listen? Or they realized that maybe we'll just get away with this for now, and maybe we'll try this again in a year or two.
Yeah,
maybe.
I don't think they listened. This is kicking the can further down the hallway. It's going to be a problem later on, and I think if Sony really wanted to show that they had any real interest in preservation, they would work on some sort of backwards compatibility here. The sure. ability to play the physical games that people own on their systems and really sort of future-proof these older games.
Yeah, we'll just buy it for a third time.
Keeping a digital store up for another year or two isn't really satisfying the problem. It's just quelling the outrage right now.
Sure.
So I don't think they're actually listening. I have no faith in Jim Ryan having actually changed his tune on
this. That's like a second-string quarterback name. It was ridiculous to shut the Vita store down. Yet another wrote, the PS Vita only got benched from store shelves at the end of 2019 in Japan. Oh, I know it was that soon. And still had indies and JRPGs actively coming out in the store. A Reddit user joked, we should bully these big corporations more. We should have bullied Nintendo in Japanese to keep Mario 35 online. Yeah, we probably, you know.
You should. You should always bully a corporation.
As much as you can. Yeah. We want to spend more money.
Yeah.
Let us spend money.
No death threats, but a corporation is a corporation.
Maybe that bully is the right term, pressure.
Pressure.
But it's so weird that it's like, you want to spend more money. Like, if Mario 35 was like, yeah, we'll do it, we'll give it to you for $20, or we'll do it like, I don't know, $2 a month, how many more people would have bought into that? I'm like, oh yeah, okay, I'll do that. Sure. And Nintendo's like, no, we got to put out Pac-Man 99 and take 30% of that horse shit instead. So...
But unfortunately, we are losing the PSP store, so go
right, well.
Crack those PSPs.
Crack them up.
Open them wide.
Open them wide.
Load them up.
Be protected first before you do that, though, before you dive into that, before you open that up. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals? I know I've been a little lethargic sometimes, feeling a little bit down because of COVID and being locked down. Well, BetterHelp is there to assist you and will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. It is not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional counseling done securely online. There is a broad range of expertise available, which may not be locally available in many areas. The service is available for clients worldwide. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your counselor. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily. Visit betterhelp.com/CU podcast. That's better, H-E-L-P, and join the other 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they are recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. Special offer for CU Podcast listeners: get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/CU podcast. All right, Ian.
Patrick.
Mario Kart 8 just hit a historic milestone.
It is the best-selling racing game of all time.
Of all time.
Of all time.
In at least in U.S. history.
In U.S. history.
Confirmed by sources.
I'd be willing to believe that that probably spreads to Japan too, but I'm not, you know, entirely certain.
As reported by the MPD Group's Matt Piscatella, go for a yummy Piscatella at Christmas.
What's a Piscatella?
I don't know. That's a nice Italian name, though. Mario Kart 8 has finally surpassed Mario Kart Wii, which was released in 2008.
Don't be a gaming racist, Pat.
I don't want to do that. Absolutely not at all. I'm not going to hit
They're it. Racists. They're literally gaming racists.
I don't want to take shots at Italians, you know, because I'm not like 80% Italian myself. So, they don't know the exact sales numbers in the U.S. Mario Kart 8 was originally released on the Wii U in 2014 and has sold 8.45 million units globally. That's the Wii U. Remember the Wii U system? A lot of people forget that. That was like the best... That's an attach rate, by the way, of like, I don't know, 75, 80%.
8.4 million?
8.4 million. Remember, they only sold like 12 million Wii U's.
Yeah, so that's
insane. There was nothing else to buy. I had it. I played it. Yeah. Ian used to play it with me. So, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe... in only 4 years now, has hit 33.41 million. So you combine that together, that's Pat math, that's like almost 42 million right there. Just under 42 million. That's insane.
That's nuts.
Especially when the re-release has done four times the amount. And it's still going.
It is a fantastic game. Easy to pick up and play for everyone.
It's not hardcore.
It's not very hardcore, no. It's not. There are people who play it in a hardcore manner. But
there's a couple of advanced moves. You know, you do the little drag thing for... It's not that advanced, but, you know, you get the...
You know, the...
speed boost.
Snaking and the shimmying and the sparking.
I never got the snaking thing, but I can do the drift stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I can do the drift stuff, too. So, yeah, fantastic game. It really kind of, I think, embodies Nintendo's design ethos when it comes to, you know, games that are meant for everyone. There's definitely strategy to it. There is some skill involved, but it is also heavily stacked in the favor of people who are in last place so that everyone feels like they're competing. What most people who are decent at Mario Kart hate being in first place and getting knocked with shells and knocked back to fifth or sixth place. For the people who are losing, though, it's the exact opposite. They can get boosts and bullets and get, you know, thrown into sixth, fifth, fourth place. There are ways to kind of strategically keep yourself in the top, you know, three to five.
You can stay out in the lead. It's not like you're doomed to getting, you know, blue shelled all the time or enough to get back in the pack.
I always say it's my favorite game to hate because I feel like I hate that game, but I play it a lot. I play a lot of Mario Kart.
Then you don't hate it.
When I'm doing good, I love it. And when I'm doing bad, it's a cheating, lying sack of shit.
Wow. Okay. I don't see it that way. I think it's fair. When you're in last place, it's usually because of you. When you're in first place, it's usually because of you. I think it's pretty fair. It's balanced.
Maybe. Might be. Wow. I'm just not good at it.
Oh, okay.
I have like what's my online score? I think it's like 3,000 something.
I don't know. I usually place top three or two. I'm good at Mario Kart. I'm not bragging. I'm pretty decent at it.
I can usually do top five with my hot bone daddy Bowser.
Your hot bone daddy Bowser.
Hot bone daddy Bowser. I use the bone version of him.
Okay. Is that lighter? Is it? There's almost too much customization in Mario Kart. Like, it's amazing how much you start with, like, the...
Mario Kart 8, there's a ton. Between the wheels,
32 racers? You start with the racer. that gives you customization. Then you go to the actual car or motorcycle, then the wheels, you know, then the wings. There's almost too much, but you always settle on what you like. You know, at first I thought I'd hate the motorcycle stuff, but then I was like, oh, I like the motorcycle. I like a few different loadouts. When I used to play it regularly, I mean, there was like two or three different loadouts I could, and you have to, you know, learn how to play with each one. But it really is a game that goes to how you want to race, you know, with your loadout. It's really nice.
Yeah, a lot of racers. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. So there's 16 standard racers. Then there's 14 unlockable racers, and then there are some DLC racers. So yeah, quite a bit.
That's amazing. So I don't know if it's the best. Let's see. What's the old time? Is it still Mario Kart on Wii? Well, let's see. Mario Kart and Wii. What did that do?
Oh, in terms of sales, yeah. Good call.
In terms of sales, overall, not just the U.S. I believe that was over 40. That's insane. Let's see. Sales of Mario Kart Wii. 30. Oh no, it passed it. 37.32.
Wow! It beat the Wii. The sales of the Wii game. Okay.
Well, people say, "Oh, Wii Sports," but that was a pack. You can't count pack-ins because that's like you're never going to hit that. It was like 80 million or whatever the fuck it was for the Wiis that had that included. The majority of them, you can't do that. So yeah, that's nuts. You think that 37? That's like okay. There's like 102 million Wiis, whatever it was. That's like let's say it's a 37% attach rate for the Wii Mario Kart. So for this version, there's an attach rate of like almost 50%. So the attach rate's a lot higher. Over 50%, right? Because we're not over 70 million. I think we
hit like 60-something.
Yeah, that's insane. That's like a 60% Pat-Math attach rate. That's nuts. That's insane. Obviously, the Wii U doesn't count because that's a console that no one really wanted after they got it. They figured, what are we doing with this after a year? What do we do? Get a Star Fox game and we'll hit the road and we'll trade it in for something else, right? So you still play this regularly?
I go through fits and spurts with it, like every
with Bone Dry Bowser Daddy.
Dry Bones, yeah, Bowser, Hot Bone Daddy.
Okay,
the hottest. Yeah, no, I still play it. Like every 3 months or so, I fire it up, and like I'll play for a couple of nights, and I'll be really good, and I'll get quite a few points added to my online ranking score, and then I'll have like one night where I just absolutely tank it, and then I swear it off for another couple of months.
Okay. Oh no. Okay. It's just about even then. Okay. Okay. I gotta do Pat Math. 41.86 globally for Mario Kart 8. Got it. All right. And then Wii was 37.38. Okay, it passed it by 4 million. All right.
So yeah, a lot of big sellers for Nintendo on the Switch between Mario Kart 8 Deluxe doing these numbers and stuff like Animal Crossing last year.
I'm still shocked that did over 30 million. That's insane.
Yeah, that's absolutely crazy. I don't know. It's good times for Nintendo.
Smash Ultimate, 20, almost 23 million. Breath of the Wild, 21.45. Pokemon Sword and Shield, 20.36. So it's like, if you got a Switch, you have to own one of these like top five games. It seems like it'd be nuts if you don't have one of these top five or six games. I mean, Odyssey seems low at only 20 million when you look at this stuff. The fact that Animal Crossing did 50% more sales in the Super Mario game.
That's the Mario game.
That's nuts.
That's one of those things that, like we said, totally accelerated by the pandemic.
And then, let's see.
I don't think Animal Crossing would have hit 30 million if we were in...
There was nothing else to do.
Non-disease times, yeah.
Where people were doing banana bread and playing Animal
Normal
Crossing.
Bread. Normal bread.
I saw banana bread.
Banana bread probably too, but normal bread. Sourdough bread
was the big thing. We were forced to make
thing.
Bread. We know how important the Ian bread technology is. We talked about it last week.
We did.
Bread tech. This segment of the CU podcast is sponsored by NordPass. We've all been frustrated, Ian, not being able to remember our passwords online, whether we're trying to order, you know, food through a delivery service, banking, credit card, what have you. Well, NordPass takes the stress out of remembering your passwords and provides secure access to all of your online accounts. It syncs across all the devices and platforms that you may use.
With NordPass, you can store all passwords in one place, organize your logins and private notes in a secure password vault, access it all with a single Master Password. You can share passwords securely. No more password sharing over email, messenger apps, or pieces of paper. Share passwords with the ones you trust safely. And stay safe online. NordPass recognizes suspicious websites so you don't accidentally reveal your sensitive information. It's got important features such as desktop and user-friendly mobile apps, which are not offered by password managers pre-installed on phones, and it has a data breach scanner. Find out if your online account or credit card information has been leaked.
That's more important than ever. Right now, you can get a special offer. NordPass has a deal available on their website. Go to nordpass.com/CU podcast and use code CU podcast to get 50% off a 1-year NordPass premium plan. Again, get 50% off a 1-year NordPass premium plan at nordpass.com/CU podcast and using code CU podcast. This deal is only available for a limited time. Keep your passwords safe and organized with NordPass. Ian,
Pat,
Kickstarter just happened today on 420.
Did.
For the Pie Packer. The Pie Packer is an interesting Kickstarter. You can call it a retro gaming console, but it's being marketed as a multiplayer gaming platform to play retro games with friends on your web browser.
Yes. So it looks like it's in the iteration that they are offering on Kickstarter, it looks like a combination hardware-software platform. I don't think the hardware is necessary to use the software, which I believe people can start using a beta version of it. Almost, I think it's today. It's soon. So basically, it seems like an online web portal where you go. You can, if you are signed up and part of Pie Packer, they have licensed the actual games for use on this system.
60-plus licensed retro games from NES to PS1. That's how they announced it.
So stuff like Earthworm Jim, Worms, the Worms series, great games. We've talked about them before. I love Worms Armageddon. And then they talk about some newer indie games like Xenocrisis, which I've played and love, and Micromages, which was a big homebrew, I believe, for the original Nintendo. So these are games that they've actually gone out and licensed, and you can sign in, start to play them, and it shows in the video. Basically, you can grab a link and send that link to a friend who also uses Pie Packer, and you can play multiplayer games online, which is fun. That's a neat idea. It's retro focused. So this isn't something necessarily brand new, but it's focused with a curated chunk of retro style games, basically.
Sure. And looking at the web interface, it's almost like a Zoom chat with your friends and their faces on the side, and then you get the game in the same window. So the technology itself is like a combination of things that pre-exist. You can do web meetings with people. We got that. You could do online retro games before, even with emulators. A lot of them have for decades now have had online multiplayer for 8 and 16 bit. So that's not revolutionary. I think it's this commercial package is what makes it, at least to me, interesting and at least somewhat attractive here.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a list of all the 60 games so we can run through some of them, but it's so far doing NES, Super Nintendo, and Sega Genesis besides these licensed games. So that's what's interesting before we even get to the hardware portion. Let's see, you got Descent 2, you got games like Glover, Sensible Soccer, you get some of these ones that you always see like on the Ant Stream service in Europe. Some of these ones are probably cheaper to license. Micromages, okay, you get a modern homebrew on there. Xenocrisis, like you said, some of the Worms games. Some of their partners, Bitmap Bureau, Pico, Codemasters, Mega Cat Studios. So some homebrew and some ones of
Mega Cat do a lot of the like NES and Super Nintendo homebrew games
and Genesis like Coffee Crisis that came out a few years ago. So these are good games. These are games that are quality. So the base service is, if you want to just do the digital, you can do that on here. It looks like the digital pass is $40, and that gets you you can play online with their advanced premium features for 6 months. So it sounds like that's some form of subscription.
Subscription service is what it would be.
For $90 on the digital pass early bird, you get a lifetime premium membership. So it sounds like that's probably where you want to go if you think that you're going to be holding on to this. And you get, and obviously you get access to all the games here. The base service is 60 plus games, multiplayer with friends online, play with any controller. We'll get into that. Baseline 3D Mass Collection. I guess you know, like on a Zoom call, you get masks, things like that. That's not a bad idea. Premium, you get a private server to bring your own games with friends online. Rewind feature, so they're putting the emulation features into the multiplayer. That's somewhat interesting to do that.
Yeah.
Early access to new games, I guess if they acquire license to new games. HD graphics upscaling, shaders for supported games. Again, these are all emulation functions. They probably license out pre-existing emulators for these three systems. Unlimited save slots and any future advanced features. So their roadmap for this year, and this is supposed to launch in May, because we actually got offered to be beta users on this. I get emails for stuff like this. Not doing it, don't have the time. Local multiplayer, offline mode, gamepad remapping, battle royale mode for some of our games. I guess they'll figure out that for some of the newer games. Speedrunning support, controlling certain games directly with camera movements. That's interesting. Matchmaking in ladder for competitive games. That's something you need.
That's cool.
For an emulation sort of system. More console system supported on PiPacker. And they have ROMs in parentheses, which is interesting. Okay, that's the digital side for the most part of this. They claim this is platform has been tested with by 100,000 users. Okay, so again, this is the digital is going to launch next month. So they've been working on this. So that's the software side. Now, they are offering a hardware component. And being a Kickstarter, they have a working prototype. Yay. A working prototype for a new console. Wow, what a concept, right? Before you take people's money. So that they're basically calling the Pi Reader. So what is this? This looks like to me something similar to other emulation type of consoles, like the Retron 5, where you know you plug in your cart, it reads your ROM, and you can play it.
Yeah, it acts as a ROM dumper.
It's a ROM dumper.
So apparently, what you'll be able to do with this is if a game is not offered on the PiPacker website, you'll be able to use the cartridges. What have they said so far? Nintendo, Super Nintendo, and Sega Genesis.
Yes, those are the three adapters this will come with.
To basically rip a game, you only need one cartridge, and you'll be able to play it. I think it's with up to four other people, or whatever, you know, whatever the game allows.
Whatever supports.
Yeah, whatever the game allows.
I guess five if you're playing Super Bomberman.
This, to me, is where it gets more interesting, and this is where I'd really need to see it in action to kind of give my opinions on it. If they get to the point where you're able to do this with games and still have it be able to maybe take part in like the rankings and the ladders and stuff like that, if you're able to set up tournaments and stuff like that with the games that you rip yourself, mm-hmm. I think it could be really interesting. Especially with like older fighting games and stuff like that, you could see an interesting online resurgence in some of the older, weirder fighting games that you might have on something like the Super Nintendo or the Genesis.
So the design is interesting. It's very like retro like 50s futuristic look to me. There are four USB ports on the front. I'm guessing when they say use any controller, that's where they're technically getting away with it, because there's adapters for all the old retro consoles via USB or straight USB, Genesis and Saturn and N64. You can buy those anywhere, but there's also adapters. Like I use an N64 USB adapter with the real N64 controller when I'm playing when I'm playing the games on an emulator, for example. So that's interesting. There's a, again, retro, like, space car, Jetsons, bubble? There's a picture of a bubble on top of the cart, and I don't know, is there some magnetic field that's being protected there? It actually is cute. I'm not saying it's awful that there's a bubble on top. It's almost like, I don't know why they didn't have that in the picture. It's a glass dome, though. It's glass? Like a pie topper? Like a pie tray? That's interesting that they would include that. I mean, it looks kitschy and cute. So anyway, so what's interesting, like you said, is that you're not depending upon the 60 games that are built in. They must have talked to lawyers about this only needing one cart to play with up to four people thing. That to me could get legally hairy if I'm thinking about that.
Yeah, it seems like it could potentially not.
Unless it's only it's only obviously the multiplayer portion.
Sure.
But that could be something I can picture Nintendo being like, we have a Nintendo Switch online service. Now you're letting someone, even if they own the cartridge, do an online service through your product we might have an issue with this. But hey, I'm not knocking it. Maybe they talked to lawyers and said it's perfectly fine to do that. I mean, because in theory, it'd be like being on a couch local co-op.
Sure.
One cartridge, all these people. But, yeah, you know what I mean? It's approaching a gray area. I'm not saying it is, but...
Well, I think it really depends on what the Pi Reader does. If it's actually ripping the ROM, then that's...
That would have to be, right?
I don't know. But yeah, I mean, the whole time I'm looking at it, I'm thinking this is... There's got to be some sort of legally... I don't think what they're doing... Don't get me wrong. I don't think what they're doing is wrong. But no. I could see other companies finding a way to make it an issue.
That's why I said I think you're approaching a gray area when you're allowing someone else to play over the internet a game they don't own, even in a multiplayer fashion.
Right. It's not like someone... It's a little different than someone coming over to your house and sitting down on your couch and playing it.
Yes. Especially when they're providing a product to do that. It wasn't a first-party product. You know, there's also Bluetooth controllers. There you go. And the USB ports at the front are ready for local multiplayer. So there you go. So it's almost like a Retron sort of console.
Yes.
In a way, but with all these awesome online multiplayer features that I can picture, you know, if Ian wants to play his favorite NES game, you know, with me, he can, you know, multiplayer Danny Sullivan's Indie Heat with a cartridge. And yes, you can say again, oh, well, you load up an emulator and do that. But this, you don't understand, people out there that do your retro pies. Most people don't deal with the horseshit. They just want something easy. I don't want to spend more than 1 minute thinking about it. Give me a product. I can play it. No hassle. No troubleshooting. I don't look shit up. And that's why stuff like the NES Classic was so popular. We don't have the time that other people do. Some people don't have the time to go through that. Give me something that works. I'll pay extra money.
Some people want the easy solution. And they will pay the money for convenience.
Especially...
That's why fast food exists.
Yeah, this would be a lot more polished than a fucking RetroPie multiplayer. You know what I mean? This is going to be polished. You know, this is going to be better than that, in theory. So this is what it's going to cost. And it's reasonable. It's reasonable. So the Pi Reader Early Bird's 100 for this. You get the reader and one adapter, one console adapter. Okay, so they're going to charge you upcharge you on the adapters. I get that. Whatever that be. I get that. There's only three of them that you got to get right now. You get that. That doesn't include any digital. The 160 is probably what you'd want to get if there's going to be the one. Because you get the Pi Reader with two adapters of your choice, and you get that premium membership for the digital, I guess, games and service on top of that. So you don't have to, I guess, whatever they're going to do, like a 6 months for 40 or I guess it'd be yearly for $40. So that would probably be more appealing. Or Ian, if we go in together, we can get two, you get the infinite, two adapters of your choice, not two readers. I thought I saw one with two, readers. The glass dome is extra. Okay. The glass dome is extra.
Okay.
The glass dome is part of the all, this is where it gets silly. If you want your console to look like, again, a 1960s, early 60s pie platter that you bring over to your neighbors like Brady Bunch, that's $270. You get the glass dome, all three adapters, Pi Reader, collector signed cartridges. I didn't see what the cartridges were that you got signed. That's the one. Oh, you get Micromages and Xenon Crisis cartridges. Okay. That's the one that has all three adapters.
Oh, that's neat. If you get both cartridges, that's kind of cool.
I don't need the dome though.
No,
it'll probably look cute, but then you got to take it off and on, and then potentially drop it or scratch it. The dome is it's kitschy but not needed. You'd probably go for the $160 one. What does the third adapter cost though? That's what I want to know. There's only two adapters. I mean, it includes one out of the box. Is that what it means? Anyway, so here's the thing about this. This is set. The digital, again, the service, if it's in a beta testing, I'll believe them that they're not lying. That's ready to go, it sounds like. This is going to be assembled. The prototype was ready in April. This is going to be assembled in August, September, and they're going to ship it in October.
All right.
A console that we know about might be shipping with a prototype finished before they took money is going to ship in October. So
we'll
it sounds
see.
Like they're it sounds like they're already got these parts ready to go. Let's hope that that's what it looks like. So I thought I might hate this at the start. I don't hate this idea. I don't hate it.
I don't hate it. I just don't know that I have. We'll see. I guess how many people adopt it.
I wonder if it'll do better just the digital service versus even the the reader hardware. I wonder if people just say, you know, I just want the...
I think the digital service has a shot. I think mass adoption of the hardware is probably unlikely.
You're getting the lifetime digital again for early bird. Well, it's really $100. Lifetime for $100, you're basically buying 60 games plus, and they're going to add more. And those are all online, local multiplayer and online. You're getting the best of everything. Family, friends, but also when you can't see them because you're in a pandemic, but also people that might be in a different state, and you do that. And these are not, flash quality games. These are real games that have sold a lot of copies and have won awards.
Existing games.
Yes.
I think I do like the general idea of it. I like the combination of, the online matchmaking.
Worms.
And a Zoom. Yeah, with faces and stuff like that. For Worms,
that'd be funny as
hell.
It'd
be a lot of fun. Yeah. I can see that as being a good time.
So, all right, well, check out the Kickstarter. It's gonna hit its goal. It literally happened when we recorded this morning. It's at 50 grand, and the goal is 75 grand. I like these. You know why I like these small goals? They already put the money in development. It's basically a finished product when these goals are so low. Now he's got to produce the rest of them and get it going.
Right.
So they put money and time into this for this because this the online interface. I'm not saying it took years to develop this, but there's R&D and time and money to put in these, the server infrastructure and things like that. So no, I'm kind of surprised by this, how promising this looks. I'm just going to say it.
Well, we will see, won't we? We will.
Why are you sounding so ominous? They got the prototype, and it's right there. They got a prototype. All right. We have a Patreon poll topic, don't we? We also have a Patreon itself.
We do. Patreon.com/CU Podcast. You go, you do the money thing, we give you the content.
You do the money thing?
We give you the content. So Patreon.com. If you support us, we give you access to the full video podcast. Video podcast. Hangouts once a month with moi. Just did that last week. It was a good time.
Went swimmingly, I heard.
Good time. It was great. We also let you vote in these poll topics.
You also do a writing?
I do a writing. I got to do one this week, yeah.
Two strong choices. It's hard to think of three choices every week. I know people on the Patreon get upset at us.
Oh my God, it's so hard.
The third one always gets only 15% anyway. Two solid choices. Would a monetary or other indicator cause you to sell your game collection? 26% only. And in first place, didn't expect us to get this much of a vote. Have you ever forced yourself to like a video game? At 74%. Ian, I know there's probably one or two in my head that you've forced yourself to like, including a Christmas present. We can go over those real quickly, but there's probably others as well.
So the number one game, and this one's fresh in my head, and honestly with the all the recent talk about Nintendo and their IPs and shit that we've done, it really was at the front of my mind. I spent 2 or 3 days desperately trying to like Star Fox Zero. I tried.
Never played it.
Because I like rail shooters. I like the basic idea of Star Fox zooming around. You're a fox. You got rabbit friends. Good shit. Blow stuff up.
Okay, rabbit friends. Okay.
You got a rabbit friend in
one.
Star Fox?
You get one, right?
There might be more than one in the world.
Okay, the animal thing's an afterthought to that game, but okay.
I mean, I enjoy it.
Furry shooter.
So I really wanted to enjoy Star Fox Zero. But the way that game made you use various motion controls and gyro controls for things was just not fun. Even as I found myself getting used to the controls, I saw a lot of people online that are like, it's not bad once you get used to the controls. No, but the controls are just so flagrantly fucking awful and annoying to use that even when I got used to them, the game was not fun because of the controls. It wasn't one of those things where I could get used to it and overlook it. I just stopped playing. And after like 3 days, after trying so hard, I stopped and I didn't go back. But I really tried. I wanted to like it. That the end of that first day, I was like, yeah, this game's not so bad. And then I sobbed deeply into, the pillow. But yeah, it really was.
Did Spike console you?
Yeah, Spike consoled me.
Put a paw on your shoulder.
Yes. So
did you sell the game or you kept it?
I think I still have it because it's just like, what I would have gotten back for. I don't know. I think I told myself in my head that I was going to try. I was going to try desperately to.
That's Ian in the corner.
To try. I was going to try again.
Ian the spotlight playing Star Fox Zero.
So I had a couple others, though, that I'm going to pull up.
Well, you can get it brand new still for $22.
Yeah, I mean, no one needs that game.
There's one seller on eBay that has sold 2,200 of them. Probably like a, you know, liquidator. So
another one that I really tried to force myself to like was Destiny. I like the idea of Destiny. I know games as services now is something that everyone hates, and no one wants their favorite franchise to turn into a games as a service, and I get it. But when Destiny came out, I was interested in it. I do like to play the occasional first-person shooter, and I'm not big on the military-themed stuff. So seeing a sci-fi shooter that was going to be, you know, massively multiplayer, I bought into it, and I couldn't
with
get into it.
With heavy RPG elements.
Yeah, with heavy RPG elements. On paper, it really sounds like a type of game that I should love. So not only did I buy, this is, I think, more of a proper example than Star Fox, because not only did I buy into Destiny and try to like Destiny, when Destiny 2 came out, I bought into Destiny 2 and tried again, because it really just seems like something that should line up for me and that I should enjoy. But I bounced off of it both times. I could not stick. Could not stick with it. What about you?
Okay.
And then, of course, yes, Home Alone 2, Christmas. Yes. I really desperately tried to like that game.
I'll run through my APOGs, PAT original games that I had, because I brought them up. If you saw my Christmas video, go watch it. It goes over some of the ones I bought for Christmas. I regretted a lot of those. Spider-Man and X-Men and Arcade Revenge. Boy, did I force myself to enjoy that game. Remember? Yeah. Remember, when I was a kid, you know, middle class, two cars, two TVs, no HBO, regular cable, still didn't have touchtone, so we didn't have a huge amount of money. I got video games like maybe three times a year if I did have my own money. Like birthday, get one, maybe. Christmas, get one or two. And then, you know, maybe you're with your mom and then some guy near the state prison you buy one from because maybe fell the back of a truck. I actually enjoyed Jaws. I always liked Jaws. That's not one I forced myself to like. I always liked Jaws, even as a kid. I got into it. I didn't love it, but I was like, okay, this isn't bad. You know, for $10, it's good.
It's not awful.
No, it's 3 stars, I think, according to certain NES
guidelines. It's very simple, but it's fun.
There's an interesting concept. There's a slight RPG system to this game. You know, an action. It's interesting. It's, what the fuck else are you going to do with Jaws on the NES? Let's be honest. What are you going to do, a platformer? Or you're the fucking sheriff platforming around the water? Anyway, so Three Stooges, I definitely forced myself to like that game as a kid. I appreciate that game now more because at the time, obviously didn't know it was an Amiga and a computer game. No one knew that. The mini game, a collection of mini games wasn't really a known thing to probably most children, especially on a console. Like, what the hell is this? So I don't know what I was expecting. You know, 8-9-year-old Pat, but I was not expecting a collection of mini games, and it threw me off. Or I was like, "Wow, what is this? This is not fun. These are quick games, and they're over in a minute." And the structure of the game is not something that I enjoyed. Again, I had to get used to it. And I still played the game a lot because I had to. It was, you didn't have a lot of games. That's when I really forced myself to like. And now I look at it a lot more fondly because of how well it did that IP versus even just the gameplay mechanics, which are fine. They're not great, but I enjoyed it a lot more because it stays true to the Three Stooges.
Sure.
And that's one of the reasons I got into YouTube to begin with, because someone trashing that game in particular, not understanding that it was based upon, at that time, a fucking 50s to 60-year-old property and not getting that whole aspect of it.
Right.
That video is probably still on YouTube. So that was one, for sure. I forced myself to enjoy, though, a lot of computer games because I started to buy a lot of computer games in the 90s. You would even go to, like, fucking BJ's Wholesale Club, and there'd be, like, cheap computer game packs where they'd put together awful games, and it'd be, like, $3 for $15. I remember buying a fighting game. I should have looked beforehand. A 101 fighting game, probably, like, 94, that was on a CD-ROM, and it was fucking terrible. I'll never forget it because it was just two guys. The art was just two guys without a shirt off, looked like wrestlers looking at each other. A photograph of them. I was like, oh, okay, I'll try this, and it was terrible. But the other games that I'd bought that I remember, I forced myself to like. was stuff that was like either cheaper or was titillating, pardon the pun, especially a game like Noctropolis, mm-hmm. which was not a bad game, published by EA. It takes place where like you're sucked into the comic book that you're writing. You become the superhero in the game, and you have to solve a crime. It's point and click. It's point and click puzzle solving, but
God, how did I remember that box so perfectly? I must have seen it like everywhere.
Because the artwork focuses on blondes with boobs. That's basically why I bought it when I was like 15. So it was on sale at Computer City. It was like a greatest hits. EA had their gold mini box, not mini box, smaller box packs, mm-hmm. slimmer box packs. They do like they would do like other publishers would also do like I think like Privateer had like their re-release a few years later. It would be like $15 games.
Sure.
So that's a bargain at the time. So I pick up Noctropolis. I look in the back, and the back of the box shows a digitized real woman up to her almost like you can almost see her nipples. And when you're like 15, you're like, oh my God, how is this for sale? I'm going to buy a game that should be rated, you know, M for mature. Because there is a couple times where you see a naked woman in that game. There's like two or three times where there's like scantily clad or naked women. And I got away with it. So I buy this game, and I couldn't figure out the puzzles. I couldn't even get to that part of the game. So EA, you got me. You hooked, you hooked a hormonal Pat in high school right there, 15-year-old Pat. I couldn't even get to the part to enjoy that. I think I got like maybe I looked at it. I looked years later at like an online playthrough. I might have got like 25% through the game.
So not even
I couldn't figure out the puzzles. Far. So that was a regret, for sure. I regretted. I just didn't like it. The layout. Maybe go back. Star Wars Galaxies, which was like the first like sort of like real time strategy Star Wars game. That's from the late 90s. Just never got into it. I got it, and I played almost all the Star Wars computer games. I was a huge Star Wars nerd. Come on. Back then. I just never got into it. One that is either forced myself to like until I got sick of it was The Sims. The first Sims was huge when that came out. That was like, what, 99? The first Sims without looking it up. And everyone was playing it in college. Everyone loved it. And I get the game. Maybe not buying it. I don't remember. And I play this game. And I'm like, oh, this is interesting. This hasn't been done before. You're simulating a person walking around, and it's goofy. And I got, after a week, I sort of snapped out of it. Played it a lot that first week. I mean, you know, probably a few dozen hours in a week or two weeks at college. And all of a sudden, I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? This is insane. I'm like, I got a life to live. I'm trying to live someone else's life. And having this person go to the bathroom and take a piss and make food. It's like, what am I doing? And so I think I liked it, and then like I got caught in the trap of the cycle of the game and got out of it. So that one's 50-50 whether or not I forced myself to like it or just got semi-addicted and realized I was getting addicted to a weird experience and got out of it. Because that was like also the forefront of like, you know, MMORPGs, like sort of like the late 90s, which I never got into because I was afraid to get addicted to games. I don't like games I can get easily addicted to. So maybe that's why that one is like that as well. In terms of, going back to Spider-Man X-Men Arcade's Revenge, the reason I got that game was because, well, Spider-Man Arcade at the time, the beat-em-up, X-Men Arcade beat-em-up. These are great games. And I don't know why. I mean, I wasn't super young. That game came out, that was an earlier Super Nintendo game that came out like 92. So I was like 12. So I have my wits about me probably to know that this is not the arcade games, but I will never get the arcade games. So I'll get this. This is the second best thing. It's not the second best thing. It's not even the third best thing. It's a seriously flawed game. It's not a horrible game, but it's not a good game. I think I rated it average in a certain Super Nintendo guidebook. But did I force myself to like that game and to beat that game. That's a tough, unforgiving experience, that game.
Yeah.
The storm levels, for God's sake. You're not even flying around. You're underwater. Then at the end of the game, you can use her a little bit. It's a weird fucking game. And I read into the backstory where they basically had to like throw out a lot of stuff and redo things. So it was sounding like it was a mess behind the scenes. But that game was not up to my expectations, so I forced myself to like that one. I forced myself to like NHL Stanley Cup.
Ooh.
I was like, oh, you know, I just got NHL 93 in the Super Nintendo. Good game. All the NHL games are good. I'll get Stanley Cup. It's 3D, Ian. This will be great. It's not great. It plays slow. it's like you're walking on the ice, not actually skating, and each game takes forever. And plus, the scoring is entirely random. And I know you can say, well, Pat, the scoring is kind of random. Yeah, but I can, like, do a slap shot 20 times from the point, and maybe they'll go in one out of 20 times. But, like, I don't feel like I scored the goal, if that makes sense. Like, sure. I don't feel like I'm scoring the goals in that game.
You're not doing anything to score the goal. You're pressing a button that says randomly tell me if I get a point or not.
Yes. It didn't seem like you're aiming in that game, and you don't tell, okay, the puck just flies past the goalie. Like, in NHL, if you go to the left or right of the goalie and the goalie's not there, it's probably in the goal because the goalie's not there. In this game, well, just shoot it, and it goes through the goalie, kind of. Like, I played a full season of that game, and it was like crawling through fucking broken glass to play a full season of NHL Stanley Cup. that was a huge, like, that. Then I went from that to buying the CD-ROM NHL 95, which was great because that was like, well, fuck the consoles. You get create a player and full trades, nothing you can get at the consoles for Genesis and Super. And that was like, that sort of like redeemed my experience of like computer NHL games, was that, or computer slash console games, was that experience. And then winning the MVP with Brian Leetch, of course, for sure. So yeah, those are ones that top my list there. You leave out anything? Or
Hudson Hawk.
I thought you enjoyed that game.
I did, but I had to. That's one that I actually I did not like it when I got it, and then played it enough to get to the point where I started to enjoy aspects of it. And now, yeah, I don't think it's the worst game in the world. It's got some neat stuff in it.
Okay, that versus Tom Sawyer. Mentioned Tom Sawyer. What?
Tom Sawyer's the better game.
Oh wow! Without. Because the gameplay is better and the story.
I mean, Tom Sawyer is not a great game, but it is a competent game. It's a competent game that you can play. Whereas Hudson Hawk definitely has some control issues and stuff like that.
I was trying to think, was there any popular game that I forced myself to like? No, I never liked Mega Man to begin with. I guess, okay. I forced myself to like Ikari Warriors because it was one of the first NES games I got, and I loved the arcade. That's a horrible game.
But the first one on Nintendo, it's miserable.
Yeah.
It's absolutely miserable.
But here's the thing. When you're a kid and you only have three games to play, you got to play the game. You got to pop it in. You can't just play Spy Hunter over and over again, hoping there's an ending to it, you know, or Super Mario Brothers. No. And plus, again, I love the arcade game. So that, I would even say, like, even Commando, the DOS Commando, which is not technically as fine-tuned as even a crappy port of Ikari Warriors, I enjoyed that game a lot more than... legitimately, even as 6 years old, enjoyed Commando more than Ikari Warriors on the NES. You know, like whatever it was, a year and a half later.
I believe it.
Like, absolutely. It's legitimately a better game. And port, even with freaking four colors, it's a better game than that. All right, well, thanks for the CU podcast.
Yeah, thanks for voting.
Thanks for the voting, I guess.
Thanks for voting.
If you want to vote, CU podcast, Patreon. patreon.com/CU podcast. I just pulled an E in there. I reversed it. All right, Ian, we got do some voicemails.
Yeah, let's do a couple voicemails.
Couple, more than a couple. I forgot to mention something last week, which was amusing. I even wrote down a note for it. Remember the two punks one pod?
Yeah,
they had two comments. This was their last comment that I got annoyed at.
Hey Pat and Ian, this is Brian from Two Punks One Pod at Anchor FM. My question for you is, would you ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
So the Two Punks One Pod podcast, they'd left three or four messages since we started doing this. And so, you know, I gave them a chance. I was like, I'm going to look these guys up. They got some punkiness. They're going to be bold. They had a historic run of only... I'm not trying to put these guys down. Just put this perspective. They had a historic run, Ian, of four podcast episodes back in December. And then they quit, apparently. So they couldn't capitalize, I guess, on all this fame they got from calling into our podcast hotline.
Podcasting is not the hardest work, but it's not also like just sit down and talk. You got to have some idea.
Some just sit down and talk. That's why no one cares about them. Yeah. You know, like you have to have... I mean, Ian no longer thinks this is just a hobby, thankfully. But at one point, you know, you sit down and just talk. But you got to be prepared. You got to know what you're talking about. You got to be interesting, maybe.
You can even sit down and just talk. But yes, you have to be interesting. You have to be able to carry a conversation.
Two Punks, One Pod. Hey, you guys can't quit. You got to get back up on that horse, buddies.
Get on that horse.
Come on. We're not doing this forever. We need to hand this off to the next generation at some point. Come on. Let's do it.
Hey, Pat and Ian. This is Ryan from Detroit. I wrote this little song for Ian. Your own Jerry, little joker, Jesus. Someone to sit and stare. First he wasn't there. Your own Jerry, little joker, Jesus.
Very nice.
Someone with kind of long hair, who the fuck cares? Your little joker, Jesus.
Okay.
That's a very, very implementation of Personal Jesus by Depeche Mode.
That also sounds like something that would Zack Snyder play over a slow-mo shot of guys walking up to the last, you know, last mission there in the movie. And that'll show up in the zombie fucking movie that Zack Snyder's doing.
Very good, sir.
Okay, what is next here?
Hey, Pat and Ian. Really enjoy the podcast. I'm in the Navy and I'm on a submarine, so whenever I'm not on watch, I enjoy listening to the podcast. One question I have, what would be the rules for a drinking game while listening to the CU podcast?
James, I don't like you nodding off on a nuclear sud, first of all. My taxpayer dollars demands you to be awake. That's tough being on a sub, I've heard. It's tough.
I've heard it's difficult.
A certain type of person can not go crazy on a sub. You're enclosed, obviously. There's not a lot of free room. A drinking game would, I guess, I don't know, times we say stuff or I hit a button or me saying it's been a while.
Yeah, I think.
Or just certain idiosyncratic conversational things we say.
I think any time an audio cue gets used, you would have to take a shot.
I love how people leave comments sometimes, and there might be someone left a message that makes fun of going back to the well on certain sayings we do, but that's normal conversation. You go back to things.
That's what people do. Yeah. It's how language works. You rely on...
Like saying like a term like at the end of the day or something. Oh, I'm making fun of Ian for saying...
Here's the thing.
Or here's the thing. That's how we speak. That's how people talk in general.
So. But I think you could do a shot anytime either one of us says, here's the thing. Anytime,
you say that a lot more than me.
Anytime there's an audio cue. That's true, but I noticed, I think it was last week or the week before, that you said it quite a few times in the beginning.
Yeah,
yes.
So you rubbed off on me. Not literally. Thankfully.
Anytime Pat starts a segment with Ian,
well, that's you'd be dead.
You would be
dead. That's now a trademark. Okay, next.
Hi, Pat and Ian. This is Cody from Toronto, Canada. I was wondering if you think Nintendo will do anything else with the Zelda franchise for this year aside from Skyward Sword. Maybe something similar to Mario 3D All-Stars. Also, what is your favorite Zelda game? Thanks for the great show, guys.
I'm not getting into Zelda conversation again. I'm done with the Zelda game conversation. But yes, you know what my favorite one is, sir.
Hi, Cody. I love Toronto. I think Nintendo will have to do something else this year, yes. I do think it'll probably be a 3D collection. Or at least, yes, there will be something. But I do think a 3D collection is potentially likely. My favorite Zelda, it comes down to two of them. It's either Zelda 2 or Link's Awakening on the Game Boy.
But we're already past the date, though. So, I mean, it coincides so close to the Super Mario. I don't know. I was bullish before, and now I'm like, I don't know. When they get announced, I guess they can say, like, maybe for the fall.
Or they'll announce the new Breath of the Wild.
That's more likely.
As being released by Christmas. Yes. And then you can say, okay, that came out on the 35th anniversary of Zelda.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking they can do the Game & Watch and make money because they sold all those and they can do a 3D collection. You know, they could do that of a few games easily. There's so many to choose from, but I don't know now. I'm like, I don't know. Maybe they'll surprise me. Nintendo, though, they're secretive. They're secretive. All right. What's the next one here?
Hello, my name is David, originally from Delaware. I was just playing through Super Hot on PS Now, and it's a really fun game, but it really didn't seem like it would have been worth it to pay more than $10, $15 for. I was just wondering how much your perception of what is worth $10 has changed since, you know, Xbox Arcade originally came out and PS3. Thank you for the show, and I hope you can get some pork roll out there.
The value!
Oh, thanks for mentioning pork roll. I was going to mention because Delaware is one of the four states where you have pork roll. Four or five states.
So I really liked Super Hot, and I bought it at, I think it was the release price or the full price of $19.99 on Steam. Really fun game. But I do think that people's perception of value has changed a lot since we've started to see these online stores. Xbox Live Arcade started out, and Xbox Live Arcade started where most of the releases were. So in the early days of it, it didn't even list a price amount. There was points. You had to buy points that you could use to purchase games on Xbox Live Arcade. It was 400 points equated out to, I think, $5, 800 points equated out to 10, and you had to buy your points in chunks. So you always ended up with leftover points. That was their way of getting you to put more money in and keep you buying.
I still have a 360 card unopened. I can't use it anymore, I don't think.
No, I don't believe you can.
Damn it. That's how they get you.
So initially, early on, you know, Xbox Live Arcade, I want to say, was probably the first big console digital marketplace. And they weren't putting, you know, big games on there. This was before, you know, things really kind of moved to digital purchasing. It really was these smaller games.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of indie games, and as more people started to make stuff for it, the prices started to go up. Games stopped being $5. They started being, you know, more closer to the 800 points, to $10. But I think the Xbox Live Arcade model did, unfortunately, condition a lot of people to look at a whole genre of games, indie games, largely 2D games or smaller, more focused games, and make them think, this is only worth $10, or this is only worth $20. And I understand money is not infinite. People need to make informed decisions. They need to, you know, buy the stuff that you want to buy. I am okay with, I always try to look at it from the point of view, how much fun am I getting out of this? Am I getting an equal or an equal to or larger amount of fun out of this game than I would, say, a AAA title that's selling for $60? And if I am, I really don't care what the price is. You know,
yeah.
I mean, if I really like a game, chances are likely that I'm going to pay just about whatever for it. So it does actually make me happy to see some indie game developers charging $29.99, $39.99 for their games. Because if the game is good, it's going to stand up to that price. It's going to be worth it. So I am not like trying to come at you, but I do think Super Hot was worth whatever I paid for it. I don't believe it was on sale or anything like that. I really enjoyed it. You might not have, and I get it, but I think this devaluation of games is not in general a good thing.
For new games, for sure. Because obviously for the old games on like good old games, well, the games have been around for 25, 30 years.
That's
doesn't matter as much.
That's different.
Those are games that used to cost $50 and now you can get for $3 now. That's different. Because those games have been out for 30 years. What's a good standard bear? Like Untitled Goose Game is like $20. I think that's a fine. You probably make the argument if it's a great game, it should be more money. You know, if you're getting a lot of enjoyment out of it, but it's not a super long game, right?
No.
But it's a great game. I never played it, but like it's getting rave reviews, and it's original, unique, and obviously it's not like a huge AAA title. But yeah, it's up to what the dev or publisher thinks they could get for it. Now, keep in mind, the publishers lose 30%.
Yeah.
It's not a first-party game. The publishers lose 30%. They're not getting all that money. Unless you want to get the Epic Games Store. You get a little more nowadays. But yeah, I don't know. It's something I think about myself. If I ever did my game or a game, what I would price it at, you know, what's a fair price? Do you make sure people buy it so you go less money, or maybe, hey, this is what I think it's worth. It's like pricing the book, you know. It's like I price it at $80 or $40, or you know, you got to settle on something.
You
gotta settle on a sweet spot.
If someone releases a game for very cheap, I'm thankful and I buy it. I think $19.99 is at this point probably the accepted average for an indie style game.
So that you expect between $10 and $30 first.
So I think $19.99 is the average. However, like I said, I there are lots of games that I have purchased and really enjoyed, and I would have gladly paid more for them.
Sure, because it's like okay, going back to when we went to the movie theaters, it cost you $18 to go to the movie before for a 2-hour experience. You're not, most of the games you're playing for more than 2 hours, you're going back to. So that's the way I always equate to it. And plus, going back to inflation. You know,
sure.
Games have been $60 forever. $60 is not worth what it used to be. It's a lot less. That's what I mean. All right, what's next here?
Hello, Pat and Ian. This is Karen from PA. I've just opened an eHarmony account, and the checkboxes for hobbies don't seem to include video games. They've got TV and pottery and architecture, but not video games. Are they deliberately deterring people from putting it on their profiles like it's a negative trait? And is this a stigma against gamers thing, or is it a social class thing?
Hi, Karen.
Hey, Karen. What's going on, Karen?
Nice to hear from you.
Karen's so great writer, very sweet person. Guys,
hope to see you again
guys,
soon.
Karen's a catch here, first of all. But I don't know. I've seen that gaming has more of a categorical thing nowadays. eHarmony is probably behind the times, not putting that as an interest. Like it's the 1980s. I don't know.
I think specifically if you're looking at eHarmony, eHarmony is supposed to be a very adult, very buttoned
traditional
up, sort of traditional dating site.
Huh.
I mean, I hate to say it, Karen, but I do think that's probably it. They don't want that out in the open. From what I've heard,
sure.
eHarmony is one of those places where if you like put you're not religious, basically, you
they either boot you out.
Don't boot you out, but you find yourself getting like considerably
an algorithm hit,
considerably
okay.
less returns.
Okay,
so I do think I think that is an eHarmony problem. They want to be looked at as a very adult, fancy, not fancy, but traditional sort of dating.
Oh no,
site.
I feel totally guilty. Now I just remembered, Karen. I hope you didn't sign up because eHarmony sponsored the Not So Common podcast a few years ago.
I
hope you use my promo code to get in. And now
I think eHarmony actually did this podcast too.
Did they? Oh, okay.
I think that's how I actually know.
Then
because
we love eHarmony.
No, but I think we like had to basically log in and look. And I remember like going in and
you signed up for an account.
We both had like we
I signed up for
we
an
both
account.
Had to
I
go had look at
oh, okay.
at it so we could talk
oh.
about it. And I remember just doing like a match thing to see how it worked. And yeah, like if you put. Basically, if you're not, they look at the money, your religion, and that's what they want to know first, and that's what they use to match you. They definitely don't care if you play video games.
Sure. All right, Karen, at a convention, I want to be your wingman. We'll get it sorted out. Don't worry about it.
Miss you, Karen.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, Karen, hopefully I see you at a convention. Hopefully we go to conventions again.
Hey, guys. My girlfriend likes video games, but she's really afraid to actually play them. She's afraid they'll be too hard, and that she'll suck. So what can I do to help her as a good boyfriend? Thanks.
All right. First of all, Dave, I was going to say this, Dave. This is a fine question, but he also gave like four or five after this, and so this you're on a time after this, Dave. You can't do five in a row. But the question about the girlfriends.
I think the easiest thing to do if it doesn't girlfriend boyfriend if you know someone, who is not particularly adept at video games and wants to get into them, the first thing you should do is find a cooperative game that appeals to them
mm-hmm.
and play through it with them.
Oh, okay. Play through it.
Whether it's a
bonding experience,
whether it's, whether you want to go old school and pick a, you know, like a beat 'em up, like a Streets of Rage or a Final Fight and go through that with them. Or you want to play something like a Borderlands or a Diablo where you party up and fight, you know, it's what they call player PvE, player versus enemy.
So something social, something they could, it's not just
something you can walk them through the ropes with. I think that's probably
you don't
want to
play Call of Duty with them. You know?
Yeah. And don't jump into a versus game. Nothing is going to, you know, deflate someone's enjoyment of something, like constantly losing at something over and over again. Oh, you want to play a video game with me? Then play this fighting game that I play every night.
No.
For months, you know, and practice that. That's not going to get them into it. Yeah, find something that appeals to them and, you know, look for a cooperative game.
And a lot of times, maybe they used to play, video games when they were a kid, and now they've fallen out of it, and maybe you try to get them back into, like, a newer version of that game. That could
be figure out what they liked as kids and see if there's something that's similar to it, you know, today.
Sure. All right, next.
Hey, guys, this is Alan from California again, and as if unironic fan of Pac-Man on the 2600 and Back to the Future on the NES, what are some games that are normally considered to be among the worst on their respective consoles that you legitimately like? Thanks.
I like Wally Bear. I like Deadly Towers.
I think we just did this a few months ago, this topic, yeah.
Yeah, I like Wally Bear. I like Deadly Towers. I can make arguments for Tom Sawyer, but people can make arguments against Tom Sawyer.
I can make arguments against Hudson Hawk.
Yeah, I can find a lot of... I can pretty easily find enjoyment in cruddier games.
Sure. And yeah, I we just went over some prior topic, but yeah, I guess Kari Warriors went at the time.
Sure.
Konasatashiv, Padraig, August, Ian, it's Richard here, an Irishman down under on St. Patrick's Day. So my question for the two of you is, do you celebrate Patrick's Day? And if you do, what do you normally do on that day? Love the show and keep it up. Cheers.
So we're really running behind on some.
Oh yeah, this is getting popular. Yes, we're way behind.
Do I celebrate St. Patrick's Day?
Nice Irishman there.
So
down under.
Vani is a huge fan of corned beef and cabbage. Despite growing up Catholic, I never really celebrated St. Patrick's Day. I have Irish in me, but it's not something that I've ever identified with necessarily. But ever since I started dating Vani we're married now, but when we started dating over 10 years ago, we would always make sure to go get corned beef and cabbage. So it wasn't until I met her that I started doing anything for St. Patrick's Day.
So that's your way of celebrating.
Yeah, we get
green beer.
No.
There's no candies for St. Patrick's Day. You may buy a green hat and fucking beads or something.
I think I've gotten shit-faced on St. Patrick's Day once in my entire life.
I used to go down with Frank to, the Wednesday market. Whenever it was that Wednesday, it hit that day. He would be... I couldn't find him. I would just leave because he would be like... 3 or 4 beers in, and then by that point you can't deal with them, and he's just traveling bar to bar. Then everyone starts buying Frank. They buy beer for Frank because it's Frank,
right?
And then I hear about the next day, Frank, did you get home? Yeah, eventually someone got me a cab. And I'm like, but I never celebrate. I didn't care. I don't care. I have the same name. I don't necessarily get anything out of St. Patrick's Day. I hate to say it. I don't celebrate any Saints' days. I don't think. Do I? I mean, Catholics got the saints. Here's the thing about Catholicism. We have superheroes in our sect of Christianity, the OG Christians. We get superheroes, basically. But you really got to follow all the ins and outs of the different ones, but you only really focus on the 3 or 4 of them. You know, they basically have superhero powers, if you're a saint. You do miracles. That's how you become a saint. You have to have at least two independently sourced miracles. It's insane. They still get them. All right, next.
Hey guys, Dan from Turnersville, New Jersey here.
Jersey!
My question is, if you could have one power from any video game, what would it be? For example, getting a health boost from a hooker in Grand Theft Auto.
Dan, I don't know why you went there. You went right there. I was like, out of all of the examples. Okay. Oh, Ian, what power do you want from one video game? Had someone do eating bubble bobble?
I'd take Peter Pepper's power. Ability to throw salt and have it freeze things.
Really?
Sure.
Not salt in the eye. You freeze people. You rob a bank like Twilight Zone. You throw salt on everyone.
Yep.
Now, would that be like in your pocket packets or just like magic salt?
Be like pocket sand from
King of the Hill?
King of the Hill, yeah.
I was going to say, God, I love King of the Hill. I'm going to watch it more.
It is good.
I don't know. I was thinking about that. I don't know. Well, it's just funny that what you said about, I guess Google 13, you know, you get your life back when you have sex, but then you get your life back. It goes up. I don't know. Next.
Hi, Pat and Ian. This is Paul from England.
Hi, Paul.
Due to the pandemic, the manufacturing of microchips has slowed down to the point where NVIDIA and AMD can't make enough graphics cards to meet demand. Similarly, car manufacturers have shut down their factories for a few days at a time.
Yeah.
Samsung have said that they might miss the launch of their next flagship phone, and Sony and Microsoft are still struggling to get their consoles out to people months after launch. Ian, does this change your mind on the Super Switch coming out this year? Would Nintendo risk another low supply, high demand situation like they did with the NES Classic? I apologize for the loaded question, because I love everything that you guys do. Keep it up. Thanks.
Paul, very polite, Paul. Love the accent.
I don't know. I don't necessarily think it does, because Nintendo tends to use older tech. So I don't know what the demand is for the older tech. We saw that they had put in the order for the Samsung, I think it was screens they were talking screens, about.
That was a surplus on the screens from what I read. Like, there's been a surplus.
There was a surplus on those.
Yeah.
And they tend to use older chipsets. So I don't know that it's necessarily going to affect them. If they were trying to make a system to compete with the PlayStation 5, yeah, obviously I think that we'd be looking at delays. So I mean, I hear what you're saying. I think it's... I think it's probably likely for this year, but I do think there is a, you know, maybe a 33% chance that it could slide into next year.
Okay, so two-thirds chance.
Two-thirds chance.
I'll take the 33 there. Paul's got another, you know, Paul, that was such a good question. I'll ask you two in a row here.
Hi, Pat and Ian. This is Paul from England. If the Super Switch is a success, can Nintendo ever, ever, ever go back to a normal non-hybrid console ever again? Surely not.
Surely not. Oh, he's biasing the question. He went Chris Jericho. Ever? No, I don't think they will. I think this is now what they do. I think that's what they do. There's too much money that they've made from this, where I don't think they could risk splitting this out again. I think this is it. I think this one ecosystem is what they're going to do.
I think the one ecosystem thing is brilliant for them. I makes perfect sense. To take, you know, come off of a disappointing console, take the success of their handhelds, fuse them both together. So I don't think they should go back or do anything different. But Nintendo does whatever the fuck Nintendo wants to do. I think the more and more it looks like Nintendo shouldn't ever do anything other than this again, the more likely it is that they're going to do something fucking weird and disappointing at some point in the future. We already read the article.
Well, this was weird to a lot of people.
It was.
Not to us, but a lot of people were like, this is weird, a hybrid?
But I don't have faith in Nintendo to stay put in one place for too long. I don't. And we read that article last week where they were already saying that any new hardware, any new console has to have some sort of innovation to it. They're going to try to shoehorn something stupid into it. I love Nintendo, but I just don't have faith in them to not do that.
Well, we're also at the point now where they're so much more open with the indie titles than they used to be, that like the 3DS was always like the more bargain titles versus...
Sure.
That's the Switch now. You can get everything on the Switch. You know, so there's no... You don't need to split these things out anymore. All right, we'll do two more here. The next one, you're going to like this next one, I believe. Actually, we'll do this other one first as it follows up on one of these things, so let's get out of the way.
Hey, Pat and Ian. This is Ryan from Iowa. I was just wondering... Now, I know Nintendo is very, very hard to predict, but since the Switch has been so successful in this dual Switch format... Is there any way Nintendo could ever go back to just a dedicated TV console, or do you think this combo is the way forward?
Well, there you go. We just answered that.
Yeah. So, no, yeah. I don't think so. I think that we may continue with Nintendo in the future to see handheld-only versions of a system, but I don't think we'll necessarily see a console-only system.
And last, we'll do this one.
This is David from New York City. I always love hearing the bagel and the pizza talk on the show, so I wanted to know, Pat, what was your favorite bagel place and favorite pizza place growing up in New Jersey? Ian, same question for you, but about growing up in Buffalo. Thank you, too.
For bagels, it was Bagel Brothers, which...
That's a great name.
Yeah, Bagel Brothers was great.
Bagel Brothers.
I believe Super they bagel turned Brothers. In... They're not around anymore. I believe they turned into Bagel J's in Buffalo, which I have not had since I've left, but I've heard very good things about it, and I'd like to try them. My favorite pizza place in Buffalo, talk about it all the time, Bocce's Pizza Club. I think there's three locations now. Literally my favorite pizza in the entire world. It's just fucking perfect.
So... This is a dumb answer, but it's a true answer. It's whatever... It was the local bagel place and the local pizza place with the name of the town on it.
Sure.
Because a lot of towns in New Jersey, you have that. Maybe not all bagel places, but definitely almost any town with any population in New Jersey has its mom and pop pizza, at least one pizza place.
Sure.
And they are not all the same, but the quality between most of them is close because, again, it's the different, it's the water source, it's the dose ingredients, it tastes, it's head and shoulders above pizza, especially in the Midwest or West Coast. You cannot compare it. And people that say you're crazy have never had it before. That's why I want to go back to Long Island Retro Gaming Expo so badly. One of the reasons why.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you just go to the local place, and here's the other thing, though. The bagels in the supermarket were sourced from, the you know, either they made it there or they sourced it. So, like, you can go to the supermarket and get the bagel, and they were delicious.
Yeah.
Because, again, it's the ingredients, and the water has different minerals and things that make it taste different, and the dough, and it's science. Bagels is science.
It's technique, but it's also the ingredients.
It's the science of what's in the water and in the dough. It comes down to that, too. The dough tastes entirely different. I have pizza here. I cannot taste a bagel or pizza that'll taste like this than in New Jersey. It'll just be impossible unless I get the water shipped across, you know, the U.S. And some places do that.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't tried a place yet in San Diego that I think someone said Bronx Pizza does that. I have to try that. I think I hear that they get it flown in. I'll be the judge of it. I'll be the judge. But yeah, we would go to a local place. It'd be like every Sunday we'd get pizza. You get a pizza with pepperoni or pizza from your local place. You walk in, you'd see the old school cigarette machine. Mm-hmm. Or remember cigarette machines? And next to that you had the original Street Fighter they had for some reason there. And I played that once, realized that was a mistake. And they had the stand up Outrun. That's the games they had there. And then you order a pizza and you go back home. Then we did get Little Caesars, but again, it was the 90s in New Jersey, so the Little Caesars there was probably way better than today. It was good enough that my father would get it, even though my father was cheap. And hey, two pizzas for $9 is a deal.
Yeah, you can't fuck with that. You can't fuck with that.
No, because one pizza was $10, so get two.
Yep.
And like it was good enough that I remember them being tasty enough. I mean, nowadays, no, you can't have Little Caesars out here. You'll die, or else I'll die. Will you die at Little Caesars, Ian? I had the $5 hot and ready pizza, and I think I had hallucinations.
I had a hot and ready within the past year, so it was all right. It was fine.
Really? You succumbed to that?
It was fine.
You didn't have any... See different colors?
No, rainbow.
Cured your color blindness? Well, thanks for the... Thanks for the voicemails. Well, we're going to try to catch up. We'll do these every week. Well, I don't think we're ever going to catch up at this point, because people love this.
It's fun.
You want to do a Q&A?
Nope.
Are you're done?
Oh yeah, I'm done. I gotta pee. I was holding it. I was holding it to the last moment.
We're only at 140 in. Wow. Okay. All right. So hopefully we get enough topics out of this one. Okay, we're gonna skip the one about what would happen if Pat basically didn't exist on YouTube. We'll skip that and do that next week then.
Yeah, we'll keep it. There's gonna be weeks worse than this. Put that in the pocket.
Okay, then I better you. Hopefully you talked enough about the. One of those intro topics at the end there. What was the last one that you talked about?
Mario Kart.
Okay.
We kept Mario Kart going.
Did we, though?
We did.
Okay. I don't think that's going to do well on YouTube, but okay. I think by itself, people don't like us reminiscing too much. No, they like the anniversary talk. But it's not an anniversary. It's not an anniversary. It's 7 years for Mario Kart. Wii U. 7, 8 years? 6 years? Was it 2014 or 13? 13. 8 years. No, 7 years. Because I was knee-deep into the book. I think it was 2014. I'm going to look that up. All right. What do you do the rest of the day, Ian, besides piss your pants? I won't allow you to leave.
I'm probably going to do some more crochet.
You can do your writing about crochet.
I could.
There you go, Ian. There you go.
I was planning on it. But thank you. Okay. But thank
hey,
you.
Hey, last week he says, Pat, I need something to write about. Now you got one. There you go. All right, so we'll talk about we've got Pie Packer. That's a good topic. We've got Pie Packer.
We're all right. Not every single week can be a home run.
I think it's a home run. It's a double. We hit a double in the gap.
Yes.
Maybe the outfielder fumbles around with the ball but turn into a stand-up triple. Maybe we do that. Go DeGrom. Okay, that's it for this podcast. We'll see you next week.
Bye.